introduce family, right? I mean, it's like we all know him and love him, so God bless.
This is awesome. Do the kids get to stay? If it is, we're switching the whole service. We're just having a jump contest with my super awesome. Okay, kids, what did we learn yesterday? If we do something good, what do? Ready? Okay, awesome. No, for real, do the kids get to stay? You are the most amazing people. Did I tell you the one time we came here, I brought this guy who'd never been in a worship service where they did worship for more than 20 minutes? Remember Dustin? You remember Dustin. And Dustin's like, they sang the same song for 45 minutes. He just sat back there. He's like, he goes, I'm so hungry. He goes, normally I get to go eat. And I think someone went and got him Subway or something like that. And anyway, you people are amazing.
And the kids were here last night, so they can.
Yeah, I love the kids. No, do whatever. I love kids. Where's my buddy Josiah? Josiah. What's up, champ? What are we going to? We're going to have a jump contest, okay? On the count of three. Let's bring all the kids up here for our jump contest. All right? Boys, we need some girls up here. Come on, girls. Okay, this is now the rule with the jump contest is you got to put your arms out to the right and the left, and you can't be touching anyone. If you are, you got to spread out, spread out, spread out. Someone's got to come. Oh my God. Come on. That's it, Judah. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so I want to take a picture. You all have to jump at the same time. And I want to take a picture of underneath all your feet at once. So get in a straight line. So we're going to take a bunch of, first we'll do this. My kids think that I don't do anything on Sunday. Okay. All right. So we're going to practice jumping at the same time. You got to stay same line. This line has to be straight. So be straight line. Let's move it back a little bit. Move back a little. Josiah, up half a step. Come up just a half a step, sweetie. Oh, my God. You're awesome, bud. Ohio State fan. Praise God. Move up a little bit more. Can you come up a little, two steps up towards me, two steps close, the opposite way. All right, boss, two steps forward, and you're perfect, as usual. Okay. Yeah, I always tell girls they're perfect, as usual. Okay, we're going to have a practice. Don't jump until you hear three, and then you're all going to jump. On the count of, wait until you hear three. One, two, three. Awesome. Okay, that was good. That's a good start. Look at this guy in the middle. He's like, that's right. Dude, if I had hair like yours, I'd be a model. Awesome. On the count of three. Now, see, what happens is we go down and get that spring. So what I want you to do is already go down to start, so you're just going to go up. Okay, you can go up a little bit higher. Some are very detailed and intricate. On the count of three. One, you got it. Two, three. Oh! Dude, I think you watch your head. There's a light above you. All right, this is the one we're going to take the picture on. Okay. One, two, 3. All right, grab a seat. Grab a seat. Good job. There we go. Good job. Way to go. All right. Okay, it's fitting that the last time I did this message, it was... So, the other day, I was with him, and he went like... He's like, I'm a monkey. And he starts on top of the couch, and he hits the corner of the couch, then the floor, then on a chair, and then off of a chair and out the room. Now, if I did that, all sorts of noises and fluids would come out of my body all at once. And so, thank God I was not doing that. Okay. What's your name, buddy? What's your name? T? Nice to meet you, T. What do you want to be when you... How old are you, T? 3? 3? Do you love Jesus in your heart? Yeah. I want to... Jesus is the kindest man alive. Yeah? Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, thanks, champ. You want to take some notes? It's important to take notes. Well, I'm going to say it's super important. Okay. Thanks, champ. I put your... Thanks. Make sure you take notes, though, all right? The generation before you, they don't take notes. Literally... Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. I was with our interns the other day, and I don't know where they came from. They just showed up. And they are interesting. One was from El Salvador. The other one was from another foreign country, Virginia. And... One was from their own world within itself, Texas. And so, I was writing on the board. I was taking them through, I mean, something simple like their budget or something. You need what? Thanks. Okay. How about a 5 like that? There you go. And so I'm taking them through their budget. And you know what they did? I go, well, are you going to take notes? And they're like, no, we'll snap a picture. It's like, snap a picture. Can you write notes on there for me? Thank you. And so, the one guy goes, the one guy who's changing and he's really growing, he goes, you know you aren't going to look at that. And I was like, phew. And so I took my planner and I ripped out my planner and I gave it to them and said, here, let's work. And they'd never seen a planner in their life. The one guy's like, wow, this is so cool. And of course, the person from El Salvador didn't really care about the planner. But he was excited to have fun that afternoon. Okay, I love people from South America, so there you go. Turn with me, if you can, or you will, to what should we do today? Not that I don't know. There's two ways we can do this message. Let's do Luke 11. Luke 11. Now, this is my favorite message. I know, who was here last night? You might think that was my favorite message. It's kind of my favorite message. You got my favorite verse, Song of Songs chapter 1, verse 4. And I didn't sleep last night, so if I... get a little jumpy. Don't mind me. So, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. This is by far one of my favorite messages. And why it's my favorite message is because the impact it's had on my life. And so are you at Luke 11 yet? Which one do you have up? New King James? This one we want the BIV. That's the Ben International Version. No, I'm just fooling with you. New King James Version's all right. We got to pray before we start. Lord, please sanctify the preacher. What's that? Okay. So, Father, here we are. We love this verse. We love the kids. We love you. And we ask that you'd be, you'd be in the room. You'd be with us. You'd lead us and guide us. We're your kids. Just take us on a journey. Let us be with you where you are. Take us from your heart. That's where we start. We're the dream of your heart. You put us on earth, and you're kind enough and smart enough to carry us all the way back again. So get us back with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 2, 3, and 4. We're going to say this together, and we're going to talk about it. Remember, we say the Bible verses together when I'm here, so I know you're paying attention. Kids, if you can't read, you have to try and pretend you can read. Ready? So say this together. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay. Now, children, I want you to pay attention really, really well. Remember what happens if we get the wiggles? Just take your fingers. The good thing about the wiggles is I found that they can get out of your body if you do two things. If you get the wiggles. First thing you do with the wiggles is you try to wiggle your toes as fast as you can without moving your feet. Just wiggle your toes. So try it right now. Just inside your shoes. Go. Try not to move your feet, okay? Next, you wiggle your fingers as fast as you can, but they can't go higher than this. I can move my fingers 5,000 times per second. You want to see? You want to see it again? It's so fast you can't even see it. Okay, so if you get the wiggles, just wiggle your fingers. All right. Let's start in the beginning, right here. Jesus said this phrase, when you pray, not if you pray, not if you get around to it. And he said this phrase, when you pray. When we're learning to pray, we want to understand this from a Jewish aspect. Why? Because when you get to heaven, you may be surprised, but Jesus is Jewish. And so and he has a lot of Jewish traditions and customs. And they called him rabbi. They didn't call him pastor. And he spoke in a language that is most likely something we'll be speaking for a long time to come. So you want to learn his customs and his ways because he's pretty smart and this is how he built it all. And so in the midst of building the body of Christ, what he did was they had a rhythm of prayer. Jewish people through the temple would have had a rhythm that was set up by who? Who set up the temple? God. That's what I'm talking about right there. Smart. Your dad must have went to Ohio State. Okay. So, I like other colleges, but okay. So, one of the things that the Lord set up was two ways to pray. The first way we would pray would be how the priest would pray. And the priest would pray like this, and I'm going to walk up here to do it. Actually, I'm going to start down here because it works better. The priest, can you follow me? If I go this way, am I going to freak the microphone out? Okay, good. So a priest would have come into the altar. And let's say this is Moses' tabernacle. Up here is the Holy of Holies. Okay? And I'm going to take you through this piece by piece because I want you to learn this prayer. Thanks, champ. So within this is the first thing you would have saw as a New Testament priest is you would have walked face to face with the altar or the place where they did the sacrifice. Now, what was the sacrifice for? Children, the sacrifice was happening so that if you sinned, there was a way for your sin to be taken away, right? I mean, nobody wants to keep their sin, right? That's really bad. And so there would be a way to get rid of your sin. This speaks of the cross. In the New Testament, the cross is what takes away our sin. Does that make sense? So in the Old Testament, they would have came to that altar where there'd be animal sacrifices. That speaks of the cross in the New Testament. The next thing they would have come up to, would right here, there would be this basin for water. And they would wash their hands and their feet. And it's kind of like, think about, they didn't have like cool running water systems or whatever, so they just had this big basin, and you filled it with water, and you turned the spigot, and you kind of got your feet washed, and you washed your hands. Why? Who set that up? God set it up because he wanted the priest to have washed hands and clean feet. It's also symbolic of he wanted them to have washed hands from the activities that they were partaking of, number one. And number two, that the path that they were on was a path of holiness. That they were walking a path of holiness. As New Testament priests, in the New Testament, we want to have clean hands. Our hands are holy unto the Lord. Did you know that? Your hands were made as holy unto the Lord. Your feet are to walk a path of holiness unto the Lord. The next thing that they would have come to would be this great big curtain. And this separated this place out here, separated it from getting ready to go into this little place right before the Holy of Holies. And this is the inner court. So they would come into this little bit more in here, go through the curtain, and then there would be this bright, beautiful lamp with seven lamps burning. And that's in the Old Testament, you would see that as a menorah. And what that symbolizes is the Holy Spirit. We read about that when it's before the throne in Revelation chapter 1, the seven spirits of God burning brightly, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. We see this in Isaiah chapter 11. It speaks of wisdom and might, counsel, knowledge, fear of the Lord. That is the Holy Spirit burning brightly. Over here, you would have had the showbread. Speaking, Jesus is the Word of God. Does that make sense? So then, when we're getting ready to do this, our Father, it's actually, we're going to walk through the Old Testament priesthood. Because here's the daily bread. The priest's job is to do what? Is to come up, and that sacrifice had to happen before they could come closer. Then they had to wash their hands and feet. Then they had to come a little bit more. Here's the Holy Spirit burning brightly. Here's the showbread. Whoa! Then, right here, they would go once a year into the Holy of Holies. Now, that was where the Shekinah glory of the Lord dwelt. It was the throne of the mercy seat. It was the throne of God on earth. And so here's what happened. The priests would carry that around on poles. I hope, follow me real quick if you can. They'd carry that around on poles, put it down, build everything around it, the tent and everything, stand back, and he'd come in the room. Isn't that cool? And so they saw him all the time. I mean, you imagine just looking out of your tent going, is he there yet? I mean, there's like 2 million people around. It's cloud by day, fire by night. I think the priests are getting ready to get done. They're almost done with the temple. They're almost done putting the curtains up. They're getting ready to do the sacrifice. Can you just think that little five-year-old kid pulling back the curtain going, is he going to come down? Is he there yet? Can you just imagine, like, your house? You know, they surrounded the 12 tribes around God. And that little five-year-old just going, did he come yet? And then all of a sudden that fire at night goes, and you're just like, okay, he's there. And none of the priests would dare walk past that. Why? Because he's holy. They wouldn't walk up there with, well, you know what? I've got 4,000 Twitter followers that say what I think is right. You do not approach God with your 4,000 Twitter folks or your 10 million Twitter folks. Or your 1 billion, whatever. It doesn't matter. You come when he summons and in his prescribed way. I'm going to show you that this temple, the Moses' tabernacle, and the New Testament is all laid out here in this prayer. And if you understand this, this is how God wants us to interact with the believers around us. So keep your hand here. Turn with me to Daniel, which is to the left in your Bible. Daniel chapter, anyone want to guess where we're going? No, who said 9? Oh, I would love to be going to 9. we probably should, but we're going to go to Daniel 6 for the sake of time. Daniel chapter 6. Who said Daniel 6? See? There you go. Jonathan and Justin were raised by a godly man. Jordan. I know who Jordan is. He's the guy with the awesome car. Okay. Daniel chapter 6. I just love the children's voices over the... To me, that's just the most beautiful sound. It shows that they're alive. Isn't that awesome? You're just like, yes. Anyway, I just like kids. Okay. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Let's look at that. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Ready? Then these men said, come on, friends, ready? Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Okay, now, when was the last time in work someone tried to get past you in promotion and there's like, there's no way we can beat this gal unless we find something wrong with what she does with the word of God. I'm trying to provoke you here. I remember a gal called me. She's like, do you have a book for leadership in the marketplace? It's crazy out there. These people, they scream at you. They do this. I mean, I have friends at work in the governor's office. They're like, man, the lawyers are super vicious there. Like, they won't get anything to you until Friday at 4:58. And then you've got to be done with everything by 5. It's just intense and back and forth. And I'm like, well, I mean, this verse says we can kind of win somehow. Because Daniel was so distinguished in what he did that they're like, there's no way we can beat this guy unless we get him, because he will not go against the word of God. And then this is what happens. Verse 6, so the governors, the satraps, thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. And basically, we know what happens. They write a law against prayer. You know you have a good prayer life when the devil creates a law to stop your prayer life. Chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel, knowing that the writing when signed, this is like one of the most important verses in the Bible, and I pray that you get it. Okay? Please, if you're translating, say to your Portuguese friend, this is the most important. Let's read this together. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. So, this guy's like, I don't know, we don't actually know when 6 happened. Theologians debate back and forth when it actually happened. So, I guess, here's my best guess, and I'm not that bright, but I'm smart enough to know how to find smart people that know what they're doing and ask them questions. My best guess is he's around 80, maybe 83, okay? So 80, let's just say he's 80, maybe he's younger, and as was his custom since his early days, three times a day, we've got to ask the question, what is he doing on his knees with the window open towards Jerusalem three times a day? Great question. Children, let's ask this question. Children, eyes up here. All eyes up here if you're under the age of 10. You got to look and see how many fingers do I have on my nose? How many fingers do I have on my nose? One. Good. That's what I'm proud of you. Now how many fingers do I have on my nose? Now how many noses do I have on my fingers? One. I've only got one nose. Okay. So kids, Daniel prayed how many times a day? Three. Which way did he face? Towards Jerusalem. Did you say it? Jerusalem? So why is he facing Jerusalem? Because he saw himself as a priest. And as a priest, he was giving honor to God. Not only that, but he was contending for the kingdom to come. When we contend for the kingdom to come, when we pray the Our Father, we mostly think of church growth or world missions. We don't think of a Jewish man sitting on a throne in Jerusalem ruling the nations. But when the Father says, I have set my son on my holy hill of Zion as king, the Father thinks like this. His son sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. So Daniel is opening the window, getting on his knees, and he's ministering to God, and he's praying for the people. And when he's praying for the kingdom to come, he is asking that a man that he actually saw in Daniel chapter 7, Jesus, would sit on a throne in Jerusalem. And we've got to think that way. Listen, let me show you how the devil understands this, but most Christians don't. Which way do Muslims face when they pray? Mecca. That's absolutely the opposite of Jerusalem. So the devil's like, no, I get this. I get where you're going to be. I'm going to get everyone to turn their back on you. I was in a Muslim prayer meeting. I'm like, oh, my God, repent. Y'all just need to turn around. You're already in the prayer movement. You're praying 5 times a day, 3 to 5 times a day. And You just got to turn around and pray the right way. Now, here's in our Western mindset, we don't think of making our home an altar of worship for the kingdom of God to come. Can you imagine Daniel trying to buy a house in Babylon where he's a slave? Daniel walks in to the apartment, okay? He comes in and he's like, just looking around. The real estate agent's trying to go, this has awesome, it's only so far from the toilet, which is down the street. It's only so far from the well. It's awesome. And Daniel's like, shh, where's the windows? Which way do the wind, I'm sorry, this window faces west. Won't do. Show me the next one. And then he gets, here's one. It's really small, though. It doesn't really matter. But there's this little window here faces east. I'll take it. Does that make sense? That's what he was possessed by. The kingdom of God coming to earth. Young people, how many times did Daniel pray, hold your fingers up, a day? Nice and high. Three. Do we have three? Josiah, all right, three times a day. I want you to go to Mommy and Daddy and say, Mommy and Daddy, where's our window in our house that faces east? And can you pray? I want to pray the Our Father three times a day, and I want to believe for God, Jesus, to come. And if you do this for 20 days, something really special is going to happen in your heart. I know it, because it happened with me. Let's look at Luke chapter. So moms and dads, it's a real simple prayer. It's real cool. You just get down. Takes 1 minute. We just go like this. I always do this. I do this on my phone. I know this seems strange. You're like, why does this guy, weird guy, want to face the east? Because I want the kingdom to come. And that's what Daniel did, and he's real smart. And I just wonder if it's kind of like the Lord's just right over that thing, getting ready to come down. Because that's scripturally, he's, you know, ready to come down. And so what I'm saying is I want to line up with who you are. I want to line up with your plan, and I want to line up with your ways and what you're doing. So let's look at this. Let's look at Luke 11. And I'm going to end with a prayer. I'm going to end with a story, and then we're going to end with a prayer, but we're going to go through this line by line. So can you buckle your seatbelts on? Can we do this for 15 minutes and go after this word? Okay, it says our. What does our mean? Everybody. So it gets you to think, does it just say frontline? No. Does it just say church in Canton, Akron? Massillon versus Jackson. It doesn't. It just says our. You don't have any choice, but you're with that person forever. That's what I said to Bill this morning. I spilled my kombucha all over his car. And I said, Bill, you don't have any choice. You're with me forever, man. Remember, I was like, we got to be together forever. He's like, he whips out. This guy has got everything you need, like, before you need it. Like, we went to the store. He's like, what do you need? I'm like, well, I need to get a notebook. He's like, dude, I've already got them, like, lined up in my office at home. And then when I spilled the stuff in the car, I kid you not, he's like, he whips out this whole thing for me to wash everything and wipe it up. I'm like, dude, that's freaky awesome. That's awesome. You're freaky, man. I love you. He's got it. Okay. Our, we're together with everyone. So when you see the church down the street, we're all together in this. This prayer can really unite us together. I kid you not. We're like wondering what we should do. Get together and pray this prayer. It's not really hard. He prayed John 17. You have all John 17 unity right here within this verse. And then the next phrase is what? The next word in this whole thing is what? Father. So the Jesus is like, hey, church, family, I want to introduce you to my Father. Every day, all the time. He knew that there would be a crisis in family. He knew there would be a fatherhood issue, an orphan spirit. So he's like, every day, you really got to go meet my dad. He's awesome. And he made it approachable as father, a protector, a provider, a nurturer, someone who's awesome. Does that make sense? Some of you are going, my dad wasn't that way. Well, you have a dad who's that way. So talk to him at least three times a day. Does this make sense? Jesus is like, no, I get it. I made people, can you imagine Jesus is, he's a parent, his first two kids. It's like, kids, you can play on this side of the street. Don't play on that side of the street. Certainly don't eat the fruit from this street. And then 5 seconds later, they're like eating the fruit and trying to play dress up. And he's like, kids, did Jesus fail in his parenting? No. He put the boundaries in there and they went and ate the fruit. So within that is, he's a father. He wants to bring healing, but he's where? He's in heaven, so he's really holy. He's really, really holy. If the angels are sitting there going, whoa, he's holy, holy, holy. And then they just, when they get done, they just do it again. Holy, holy, holy. And then if you've got eyes and you can look at world history as it's happening in a million directions, and you can watch God in every direction, and only thing you say is holy, it must be important. And that's who he said, be like me. I'm holy. Become like me. Trust me. You're not going to get, you know, my wife's like, hey, you know, the Holy Clubs piece. I don't think the word Holy Clubs is brandable. I go, it's not brandable now, but trust me, when we stepped over, everybody will be wearing that brand. And they'll be singing the brand. It'll be all right. Let's just provoke them for a minute. My wife is so practical. Oh, honey, does your dream come with toilet paper and bills being paid? I don't know, woman. she's like, honey, they're real kids that really need to eat and really need to do stuff other than just pray. They do? Like what? No, my wife is awesome. So he's in heaven. So Jesus is every day, Ephesians chapter 2. Paul makes this statement where he's like, hey, you got to figure this out. Jesus died that what? You may be seated with him in heavenly places. So in heaven, in this holy, they're calling him holy here, but in here, we get to call him Father, and he says through prayer, we combine the two together. You get to say, our Father, you're really holy. And because Jesus made a way, you get to go sit up in his lap right away while you're praying every day, three times a day. I'm like, this is the coolest thing. Someone's like, prayer's boring. I'm like, I don't know where you go when you pray. My Bible says I go to my Father in heaven. And I'm just like, Dad, can you believe it? I completely messed up. I totally know that. I mean, this, you know, you told me this like, you know, last time you prayed. You love me. I love you, kid. Don't do it again. Kind of grabbed me by the foot and shake me upside down. And it, holy is your name. Set apart and sacred is your name. So all of a sudden, Jesus is like, least you get caught in false grace, least you be okay with sleeping with sin And I want you to know, no, his very name is sacred and holy and set apart. Exodus chapter 30, you don't have to go there. You can. Exodus 34, verse 5, 6, 7. It goes through, and we go through this in the Holy Cup's firm foundation, where we actually go through the name of God, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness. Keep it merciful. Verse 6. And so Moses, there he is, he says, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. Don't get tripped up on that. All that means is if you do something wrong, you have to pay the price for it, because he's just in everything he does. When the devil stands before him, he'll be like, was I just? Yes, you were. You were perfect in how you led my life. And he'll be like, okay, over there, champ. You're done. And he gets to hang out for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, it's just, I don't know. You ever read the Bible? You're like, so you put him away for 1,000 years, and then you bring him back out? And then kind of, this little army of sinful people that don't like God come up against the throne, and then he just brings fire down out of heaven. Like, I don't know how all that works, but he's really smart. Okay. Next, our Father in heaven. You've got to understand that his name is totally set apart. So as we're saying this every day, we're actually declaring this truth in two places. Take a guess for the first one. Your heart. You're believing it. You have to actually believe he is who he says he is. You got to speak the truth in your heart. Second, what you need to, as you're saying this, you're actually declaring it in the airwaves around you. Just got to check the time. Okay. I missed a flight the other day. These beautiful Koreans were so kind, they just kept smiling the whole time. And then when I'm done, they're like, you know, go. Like Mary Pat, just go. Meanwhile, I missed my flight. Go. And so I just got to check the time. Okay, good. And because I got appointments tonight. If I don't miss, if I can't miss them. They're millennials. It's, you don't want to miss appointments with them. And so within this, he says this statement. Holy is your name. So his name is set apart. And then he says this phrase, your kingdom come. And now I want you to read Psalm 2 so many times. And I want you to read Psalm 2 100 times. Memorize it. And then think of it when you're praying this part. That's why Daniel opened the window, looked towards Jerusalem, and said, your kingdom come 3 times a day. While he was in captivity as a slave, working for a government of a nation that held him captive. He opened the window. Did it say that he complained about everything? No, because he was so good at his job, he kept getting promoted all the time. Till Daniel 5, when he's like, he's about to get promoted again, he's like, really, I don't need any more promotions. Keep your rings. You just increase my workload with your cool promotion. He's like, forget it. You don't understand. I just want to open the door. I want to point towards something that's coming. And I'm so connected to this. Does that make sense? Turn with me real quick right here to Nehemiah. Now, if you don't know where Nehemiah is, it's in the Minor Prophets. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say it's in the Minor Prophets? It's right before Psalms. Yeah. Please forgive me. I slipped my mind. I wixed my merds up real quick because of lack of sleep. So there you go. Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3, 4, 5. I'm going to read this. You don't have to read this. The survivors who were left, they said to me, to Nehemiah, the survivors who were left from the captivity in the providence, that there was great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down and its gates were burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. And when it says big L-O-R-D, I'm not tall enough, that speaks of the Lord God, who it's Yahweh, it's God of government, the only one that can make and keep covenant. So it's the Lord seated on the throne. And he says this, great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Do you see how he understands the sacredness of God's name? So he's turning it back around. He's actually just acting like a lawyer. And he's pleading a case with the Lord of why he should have mercy. He's giving him his reasons. He's like, this is who you are. You said, Jesus later says, pray, your name is holy. What he's saying is, like all the prophets that went before, you've really got to know my name so you can turn my heart and my holiness and my character back around in prayer. Does that make sense? I hope you understand that. Because the problem that we're running into is our lack of the knowledge of who God is, and that's the actual God we're praying to. It's a God that doesn't really, he's not really strong. Does that understand? The more we know him, we're like, whoa, this is who you are? And that's what Nehemiah does. His heart is connected to who God is. And he says, you keep your covenant of mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Next verse. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open so that you may hear the prayer of your servant when I pray before you now day and night for the children of Israel. This is just like Daniel. He's not praying just for Israeli statehood. He's praying for the kingdom of God to come to earth. We have to get connected not just to the statehood of Israel, though that's important to a degree, but we've got to get connected to God's heart to have a throne in an actual spot. What is the most contested spot in the world? Temple Mount. Why? It's because the devil totally gets it. He gets right there. The guy said he's going to put his throne there. And he said he's not going to do it until the priesthood in that place, the Jews, stand up and invite him back to lead. Say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the devil's like, so I'm going to get that spot and wipe out those people so that he can't keep covenant. Meanwhile, you don't know that he's the covenant-keeping God then. Anyway, the devil has never asked for my advice on anything. So, this is a bunny trail. Can we do a bunny trail for 15, 20 seconds? And so I remember one time I'm just in this moment, just dream, and I'm worshiping the Lord and it's awesome. And then all of a sudden I'm in the dream, I'm like before Jesus. And there's this long line of people and I'm worshiping. I'm like, you're awesome. I mean, it's like, yes, my one moment. Wow. And then I look behind me and there's the devil. And he's just standing there. And there's a long line of people. And I realize I've got like my 15 minutes with God or whatever. I don't know how. I'm sure you can talk to God at any time. So, but this is just a dream. So there you go. And so as I'm doing this, I'm like, it's the devil. He's like, yeah. And he just looks at me like, so what? And I go, it's the devil. And he's like, I whisper to the Lord, I don't want him to know I'm here. He's like, He whispers back, he doesn't even know you exist. He goes, stop making him bigger than he really is. And then I look at it in Isaiah 14. It's like in the end of the age, we're going to look at him and go, you were the one we were afraid of? That's why people are like, you know, all this warfare. And there is warfare. Don't get me wrong. The devil doesn't like people. But half the time I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm just going to keep praying the Our Father and hope it works out for y'all. I don't have time to get freaked out. I'm just going forward. Now, there is real warfare. Don't get me wrong. But normally if I just pray and wake up, it works out. So there you go. I just don't have time anymore to kind of get drawn into a million things. Okay. But if it is really warfare, just start fasting and praying. And then if you're praying for Pastor Bill, most likely he will have some jokes while you're doing that, and the situation will be very light. He's like me. I love it. Okay. Nehemiah, back to Luke 11. Nehemiah was not just praying for Israeli statehood. He was connected to the Lord, and therefore his prayers were about the kingdom of God to come. Back to Luke 11. And then it says, your will be done. And so here's what I want you to understand. The first thing I do when it says, our Father in heaven, I just tell the Father how awesome he is. Remember, when we want to pray up and out. If this is new to you, just grab someone next to you and say, what in the world does that mean? And hopefully the person next to you knows what that means. And up, we want to take who God is, and we want to minister that back to him. We want to tell him. And then in, we want to take the truth of God, and we want to put it in our heart. And then out, we want to pray for those around us. So when we're praying the Our Father, it's first we stare at the Father, the Trinity of God, the Father, and go, you're our Father. We really like you. Because the priest in the Old Testament, they would minister to God. They would sing to God. They would make offerings to God. They just didn't come in and get stuff from him. Does that make sense? A lot of what they did was telling him how awesome he was. And we've got to bring that back into our life. The Our Father starts all up and then goes asking. Does that make sense? You're our Father in heaven. It's worship. Holy is your name. It's worship. All the prophets write this way. Everybody that's connected to the Lord in a deep and a powerful way, they started up by glorifying him and reminding him who he is, and then reminding what he thinks and feels about them, and then they ask for the people. Sound familiar? I'm telling you, God likes you. Okay, it's not just a wristband. Then, so I look at the Father, I tell him, when I look at the kingdom come, who did the Father set as king in Jerusalem? Jesus. So I stare at Jesus. I'm like, you are the most best king ever. You're set by your dad on the throne in Jerusalem. This is what I tell him this. How he gets to start his day knowing he's king. Because a little guy in Raleigh is staring out his east window going, I really like you. You're the great Father. You're the King, Jesus. You're the King, Jesus. Sometimes I go on my back porch and I do this, and I hope we're not recording this. Sometimes I'll be like, my kids are like, anyway, I'm not going to. So I'm not going to tell you all, no. So sometimes I'm not able to get to the shower first or get fully dressed appropriately, but just I'm out there before the sun just worshiping the Lord and telling him who he is. So there you go. And then your will be done. Who moves the will of God every day on earth? The Holy Spirit. So now I stare at the Holy Spirit and I go, you're really awesome. You're the counselor. You're glorious. I pray for the will of God to come forth. And as a priest, I'm ministering up, I'm ministering in, and then I'm praying for my wife, my children, my neighborhood, my community, and my sphere of influence. And this is, I'm getting to the end of this, but the priest of old would wear these, this is real important, so 12 stones. They represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And where did they wear that into? The Holy of Holies. What was written on those? The tribes of Israel, right? And they went up. What were they doing? They were carrying the people before the throne of God. In the same way, you've got to see yourself as a New Testament priest. Moms, every day, they're carrying their children. Why? Just look at their clothes. They're covered with the kids' stuff. And they're like, need I remind you, God, there's the yogurt here. There's apple juice over here. My kids, ah! Guys, we're kind of just like, we've got to carry our wife. Here she is. She's your daughter. Take her before the throne of God. Carry your kids. And then carry these people. Or carry your sphere of influence. I carry people before the Lord 3 times a day. And I go, these are the ones you gave me to serve. Help. And here's what I pray. Luke 11, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in these ones today as it is in heaven. Give them day by day your daily bread. Give them the word of God. Give them provision. Give them your son. Paul prayed this prayer, give them wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you. Open the eyes of their understanding. When Paul's praying that prayer in Ephesians 1, you've got to see that as that daily bread. Does that make sense? So he's praying not just for money, though that's a prayer, but at the same time he's saying, pray for the daily bread of the word of the Lord. And then he's saying, pray this. After that, what's next? Give us day by day our daily bread. What's next? Forgive us our sins. What was the first thing the priest would have had to come in front of? The altar of sacrifice, where there would have been offerings for him and for the people, right? It would have been, and that's the cross. We, in the same way, we've got to say, God, forgive us of our sins. Not only our personal sins, but again, we're carrying the people before the Lord and saying, Daniel says in Daniel 9, this is why Andy was so correct, we have sinned. Did he say, those wretched people that didn't obey you and didn't live a fasted lifestyle that I did and didn't do the Nazarite calling like I did, they've sinned. No, we have sinned. Here's what we've done. I turn to the Lord. I go, we've really messed up. We do this abortion thing. We do this internet thing. And I just give them lists. Da, 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 da. And then I go, what does Ephesians 2 say? Turn to me to Ephesians 2. I'm the worst kind of lawyer because I like give all the reasons why we're guilty. Because I'm trying to give them, because he says, ask for forgiveness for your sins. So, I mean, I'd be like, here, let me give you your case to the defense. You know, I'm like, here you go. Or I'm the defense, the devil's the prosecutor. And I'm just going, no, you missed a couple. I actually did this to a person who confronted me, a demon, literally. I'm trying to witness the gospel on campus, and it's to Muslims, and da-da-da-da-da, and this guy comes up, and he's like, he's manifesting, and he goes, I know. I mean, his voice changes. You know, I mean, I know you, this is my place. And I know what you did when you were a pastor. I go, and he names off like 3 sins. I go, actually, it was way worse. But you want me to tell you how I'm forgiven? I admit, this is what I said. I admit it was way worse. Be quiet. You missed a bunch. I don't know how. I mean, you're kind of not bright. Ephesians chapter 2. He says this in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 5, let me back up to 4. Can we do 4? But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. See, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. So after I say, forgive us of our sins, I say, this is what we're doing in our sin. And then I say, but you're a merciful God. But go back to 5. He made us alive to be seated with him. Go back to verse 4. What does it start with, verse 4? So no matter what we've done, I turn around. After I list the sins, I go, but God, you're totally rich in mercy. Forgive us. Forgive us. Okay. Luke chapter 11. As we forgive those who sinned against us, we've got to have a place where we're actively forgiving those around us, that we don't hold on to it because we know we have the right to. When you're asking for forgiveness, when you're forgiving someone, what you're doing is you're saying, I choose to let the righteous just judge take care of it, not me. And God, you take care of this situation. I trust you. And then you're like, Lord, come heal me. That's forgiveness is so powerful. The devil, if you forgive someone, the devil doesn't have anywhere to stand. And the Lord's like, thank you. Let me come in and work with this guy right here, this gal. Does that make sense? And then if you actually follow the pray for them, do good to them, give to them, bless them. It's like T-minus 10 till they're saved and preaching. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, well, here's another one of my enemies. I mean, all the missionaries that really did something, they like laid down their lives, got beat up, interjected in crazy circumstances, and then prayed for the people that were hanging them upside down or whatever. I mean, Adoniram Judson hung up for like a year every single night while the mosquitoes were biting him and he's trying to do Bible translation. Praying for asking in the midst of that, how are things going? Oh, the gospel is looking amazingly well in this nation. What? You're hanging upside down getting eaten alive by mosquitoes every night. My friend doing Bible translation for the Uyghur people, largest people group in the world without a Bible in their own language, finally gets just a piece and a piece and a piece. It's so much work. I remember he was working on the Psalms. He got 24 Psalms done. We're just rejoicing. We're in the prayer room. Thank you, Jesus. You did it. It's awesome. He goes back. His computer's gone. His hard drive where he stored everything out of the thing, stolen right out of the prayer room just like that. Never saw it again. Had to start over. You think the devil hates the word? Oh, you better believe it. My brother, he finally got to the book of Hosea 5 years later. The translator for the book of Hosea just got arrested 2 nights ago. She went to a re-education camp. You think the devil hates the word of God? We've got to pray. We've got to pray that place of forgiveness on these ones and be the very ones that are light. For you've got to pray forgiveness for those in your area that don't even know it, don't even believe it. Father, forgive them of their sins. What does it say after that? Do not lead us into temptation. I want you to pray this at least 3 times a day. I would encourage you to pray at 40. Do not lead us into temptation is like saying, I'm weak, you're really strong. Actually, do it the reverse. You're really strong. You want to focus on his strength, not your weakness. You're really strong, I'm weak, therefore help me. Okay? You want to know that he's really strong. I do this every day. I'm like, you're really strong, I'm weak. Don't leave me in temptation. Help me. We've got to pray this prayer. A lot of us get dragged along by our sin and wonder what's going on with our life. But we've got to jump out in the grace of God and go, don't lead me into temptation. He knew temptation was come. Part of the new, with the Firm Foundations, we have 9 groups to start with. One of them is temptation. And I put this big snake, like, right there. And people are like, ugh. Everybody's like, oh, why'd you do that? It's ew. I go, that's the point. Okay. Lead us not into temptation. When that means lead us not into temptation, that also means we're praying to be led by what? By the Word and the Spirit of God. So in we're saying, lead us not into temptation, I always just say, hey, God, I need help. Please lead me by your Word. Let your Word be a light unto my path. I remember all my children's songs. Okay? And deliver us from the evil one. That's actually a now and an eschatological. If you actually pray that, you're praying for the if you see it within the context of what he was really saying, he's actually talking about deliverance, both now and throughout biblical history. So you can agree with the Lord through biblical history. It's awesome. I always pray that. I'm like, you know that Antichrist deal? Deliver us from the evil one. And the Lord's like, no problem. Thank you. See, do you know that we're filling bowls in heaven? Do you know there's a bowl we're supposed to fill, and a lot of it has to do with this prayer? And he's just going, come on, come on. And then he'll go, whew, it answers all the prayers. You're wondering what to pray? It's right there. Okay. For what? This is my kid's favorite part, this next part. Next. And he says, which of you, and we love the part which says forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, but then we have to do Luke 11 because Luke says, which of you has a friend at midnight? And you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Next. And a friend of mine has come on this journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within him and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Next, we're just going to go through. I say to you, he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, but because his persistence, he will rise and give to him as he needs. I don't know why it says as he needs. You know it was a woman that had to get up. The guy was still sleeping. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And what this is saying within the context of this is, I'm going to tell you, this is like so deep. Prayer. We've got to ask, we've got to seek, and we've got to knock. That's all. Keep asking him. Keep seeking and keep knocking. And what do you do if you go to someone's house and knock on the door? You wait, you keep knocking. If they don't come, you keep knocking, right? And then when they answer, do you keep knocking? No, that'd be annoying. Ask, seek, and knock until the doors open. And then go on to your next prayer assignment. So here's what I want to do. We're going to end with this. I want you to see yourself as a New Testament priest. I want to see yourself as a New Testament priest. Mom, you already know who you're carrying before the throne. Dads, you know who you're carrying before the throne. But who is that one? Or who is that sphere that you're carrying before the throne? Remember, the priests of old would have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You've got to have whatever, your marketplace, your family. Put that, and that's your priestly robes. You just put those on, and you walk. Because of Jesus, you get to walk before. You're not bored. Because what Jesus did, you actually get entrance before the throne of God whenever you want. I mean, do you understand how powerful that is? Okay. I want you to write down and think about the names of those people. And I want to encourage you, young people, ask mom and dad, show you where the east is, pray the Our Father 3 times a day. And he says, don't pray it in vain repetition, but we want to learn to pray it in a way that's our heart connected. So we're going to practice right now. Can we put the Our Father up? And we're going to pray it three times. You can stand with me if you don't mind. Unless you're a mom, you could do whatever you please. So which way is east? This way.
That way.
So here's what we want. Are we all sure we're not going west? All right, get out your phone, someone. It's this way. And not that I don't agree with you. East is that way. All right, so let's face east. We're facing towards Jerusalem. If you don't want to, don't. Just don't. Please don't face west and pray five times a day. Unless you're praying for Missouri, okay, or California. But still pray towards Jerusalem. So we're going to pray this prayer. And the first time we pray this prayer, we're going to pray this prayer, and some of you are going to say it a little differently. You're going to say, lead us not into temptation, and because some of you say different things. Let's see, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, let's say, okay? Because a lot of you, you're just going to naturally say trespasses. As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and again. First, we want to pray up, right? So we're actually going to say this, and we're actually thinking about a real king who's sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. And we're saying this. This is your gift and your offering as a New Testament priest before him. Right now, you're saying it to him. This is all about you loving him. With the kids yesterday, we taught them to hug the Father. So let's say this together. Ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, doesn't that feel good to say it to him? Next time we're going to pray in. You got to believe these truths in your own heart. Hands on your heart. Ready? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Okay, lastly, I want you to remember that one, or I want to remember the tribe you're carrying before the throne. It may be your unsaved brother, sister, cousin, whoever, marketplace, and we're going to say it, and we're going to believe as our words go to him, Jesus and Father are smiling, and the Holy Spirit's like, let's go do this. And angels are going, woohoo, I was waiting for this. All right, hands out to the people. Heaven, give us today our daily bread. Give us our trespasses. We forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, here's just turn around real quick. Woohoo, these prayers count. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to personalize it when you're doing it. When you're saying it up, just make it all about him. I always say the Father, you're the Father in heaven. I tell him how awesome it is. Your kingdom, Jesus, let you sit on the throne. I mean, I just get excited. Holy Spirit, come in power today. Do something or I'll mess it up. Woo! And then when I'm doing it in, I'm like, lead me. Give me daily bread. Does this make sense? And when I'm praying out, I actually put the people's names in. Does that make sense? All right. Father, thank you for this beautiful group. I thank you for the best jumping kids around. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I love you.
Challenging fun. Very challenging, but very fun, huh? If you've not had an opportunity to give to Ben, his ministry, his family, be sure and drop it in the box back there today.